Narrative Frameworks 30. If we are paying attention, we can see what is happening. First, we live life without devices, electronic devices. And then there are electronic devices for one purpose or another. Cameras for taking photos, torches for lighting the way, clocks for telling the time, calculators for making calculations, typewriters for writing letters. And before long, all of these functions are integrated together into the computer. And before long, these big desktop computers become small laptops that we can move around with us. And still, there are plenty of other devices which we need at the same time. We have our laptop, but we may also have a camera. A camera fits in the pocket. A laptop doesn't. And then, of course, the mobile phone. The mobile phone starts off just simply phone calls, texts, SMS. But then the computing power of this small device means that, or the increasing possibility of putting so much computational power into smaller and smaller space, means that the laptop and all these other devices that we might usually plug into the laptop or have as separate things in the pocket, they all become integrated into the phone. And of course, the phone now is such an appendage to life that we are attached to, an appendage to life that we are so attached to the point that we actually say things like, my whole life is on that phone. Because we've kind of given ourselves over to the electronic world. We've kind of put all of our diary entries and passwords and codes and accounts and letters and schedules, photos, all of the things of life we have put into this one device. And this one device can apparently access all of the things of life also. Not just all of the things of life, our life, individual life, but all of the things of life in the whole world. Through search engines, we can search the whole encyclopedic world of information. Just like encyclopedias of the past and all the other superfluous information and like random goings on that are happening in the world. And not just now, but we have a reference point, a window, if you like. Is it any coincidence that certain platform borrows that name? We have a window on, or windows on, the past and the future. Through this small device held in the hand outside of us. But only just outside of us. Only just. Because we have integrated our living, breathing, biological essence with this computerized world. this thing we hold in our hands is an oracle of sorts. This few inches, this few square inches of brightly coloured, changing green light is so necessary to us that we don't want to lose it. And this is the point we're at now, where systems are being so-called upgraded to enable exchange through these devices with just a swipe. Just a swipe. You hold this thing in your hand, you swipe it over the sensor, and you have paid for whatever it is you needed to pay for. Your public transport, your shopping, whatever you're paying for. So now you don't need to even enter codes or signatures, passwords. You just swipe. And then a little wheel goes round, or a beep happens, transaction approved, or some message of that nature. And as we swipe these things, we're holding these phones and swiping and beeping, and the doors are opening, we're walking through. Do we not see what the next stage of development is? Remember, this isn't like just one occurrence. I just outlined the line of progression that things take. Many devices, big devices, smaller devices, integrated devices, computers, laptops, phones, pockets. But it's reaching the point where reaching into your pocket, taking out your phone, is becoming too much for people. In places around the world already, there are thousands of people who have opted to have a microchip implanted under their skin, between their thumb and their first finger. And it's always said, oh, it's just this tiny little thing the size of a grain of rice. And it is just this tiny little thing the size of the grain of rice. But what you call your whole life is on that thing. Your whole life, but it's not your whole life, it's nothing of your life. It's this electronic representation of your life, which exists within a bureaucratic, technocratic structure of oligarchical power that cares nothing for your life, that does not even recognize your living, breathing life. It recognizes your computerized numbers, profiles, codes. And if we're opting to have this microchip, I mean, we shouldn't be opting for our slavery. If we're opting to have this microchip, then we're opting out of our life and into a system of someone else's control. And you can argue, oh, that system exists already. Sure, it exists already. But do you want to further its interests above your own interest? Has life become so meaningless that you don't recognize the beauty and power of your individual, spiritual, organic life, and you're just happy to hand over what's left to some apparently benevolent authority, which, if you look into it to any extent, is most likely not benevolent at all? Have we been eroded so much that we're prepared to go along with this false liberation? Transhumanism, the mixture of human and machine, is no liberation whatsoever. It's about becoming less than human. And it's about becoming limited enough to be controlled in the control system's interests. So we need to be careful of our choices. We need to be careful of how much we use electronic systems that care not for us, and how much we integrate them into our very own lives. Surely we shouldn't be sort of blindly welcoming these technologies. We should be reflective about where they are leading, about what they are coming from, and about the state of life that would ensue as a result of everyone being plugged in. Plugged into what? It's one thing to be naturally, inherently plugged in to the greater tapestry of life that we are. Each one of us a strand in the overall picture, and each one of us as such integral to that overall picture. It's one thing to be plugged into that, it's another thing to be plugged into a dark imitation of that. Because a dark imitation of that is not the same as the tapestry I just described. The tapestry that I described is the place where the dance of life happens and souls are able to learn and grow and evolve towards their greater truth. But the dark imitation does not allow for such growth and development because it denies the very thing that grows and develops. It denies the soul. It treats you as an individual body-mind unit. And not even that. It cares not for your body and mind. It cares only for the numbers that your body and mind can be reduced into. Like a series of questions about yourself. You answer yes or no, yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. This is programmed into your little chip. 0 and 1, 0 and 1, 0 and 1, 0 and 1. That binary language of computers. There's nothing of the soul in that. It's all just this limited duality with no greater perspective. But of course that's the whole point. Because a boundless soul knows its power. A boundless soul in its truth knows its own sovereignty. But if you reduce that boundless soul to a representation of itself in a dualistic world, and then that dualistic world representation divorced of spirit into an electronic representation, well, you can control electronics because you've built the whole system. You've built the whole electronic grid. You can control that. So this is what I mean. There's no liberation for individuals within this system touted as liberation, this painted picture of a wondrous future of human and machine. It's all false promises, like everything else that's marketed to us. It's false promises. Liberation exists in knowing who you are. Liberation does not exist in giving away who you are to something much less than who you are. Because that results in pain and suffering. And if we go so far as to put this thing in our bodies then we're just at the mercy of electromagnetic frequency manipulation that turns the chip on and off, that activates it in particular ways and deactivates it in other ways. And the more people have this sort of thing, the more people have a smartphone, the less people without a smartphone can get by, because everything shifts to the model of the smartphone. Just like if you had no computer now, how would you get by? If you have no smartphone, it becomes difficult to get by, or at least to be competitive in the day-to-day life of instant communication. So the next step, microchip. Once few people start getting them and things start to be oriented towards that way of functioning, towards a sort of swipe hand situation, then what happens to the people who choose not to have those things? Eventually, not having a microchip will become an obsolete way of being within the system, and no way to function within the system without one. But if that is what the system is, then do you really want to be a part of it? And so that this discussion and this knowing of the situation happens now. It doesn't happen at the point where you're asked, do you want this chip right now or do you not? You have to think about these things before they come. But to do that, you have to have the capacity to reflect. And you have to have created the time and space to reflect. Because otherwise you just go along blindly. And this is the difference between a conscious and an unconscious life. A conscious life, we see the bigger picture of which we are part. An unconscious life, we go blindly ahead and end up in situations that we perhaps don't want to be in. So it's crucial that we come back to ourselves and our own power to know ourselves and to know what is happening in the world around us. And to know what greater power is, so that we can know what lesser power is when it claims that it is great. We need to know true liberation so we can spot false liberation. It's very easy to opt for a false promise when things already seem negative, already seem bad, already seem difficult, and there is suffering. And this is, of course, how these things get pushed through. People's sense of life is limited in order for greater limitation to be applied to their lives. Like, if people believed in their boundlessness, then how would we limit ourselves to these routinal ways of being? We just wouldn't. But if we can be told enough that we're just a body and a mind, then we will limit ourselves to limitation. And if we can be told enough that the body and the mind is this meaningless random occurrence, then you know, we feel like, oh, we're not giving away much when we just shift everything to this electronic world. It's not really much, was it? It's just this life thing. So you know, this is the crux of it, is knowing the true depth and beauty of our life. Knowing this we can see clearly in the world. Because our sight is rooted in light.